This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
88 scary degrees here on October 8th? 7th?
8th.
8th, October 8th! Hey, how about that?
Feels like August 8th.
Doesn't it? My goodness. Bob Gibson joins us live in studio and joins us every afternoon. Bob Gibson, the political reporter with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. And Bob, before we get started, though, I just want to let folks know that this week's issue of The Hook online at readthehook.com, Hawes Spencer tells me that Lindsey Barnes, one of his star reporters, has a cover story this week that fans of News Radio 1070 WINA are definitely going to want to rush to pick up when it is when it hits newsstands on Thursday. This may be news that we're breaking right now if you hadn't heard about it, but this week's cover story in The Hook comes out on Thursday is all about Dick Mountjoy. It's about his career in radio, 40 years on the air in Charlottesville, his so far successful, thank God, battle with cancer of the throat, and what he is up to now, and about his continued wonderful, inspiring recovery. And so that is in this week's issue of The Hook.
A lot of us miss Dick. I wish he were back on the air. Unfortunately, he can't do that now.
Yeah. We were just talking before we went on the air how we really miss hearing his voice in the mornings. Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Let's start first with some other breaking news today, and that is some career moves for former Virginia Governor George Allen.
Well, he's joined a presidential campaign, and it isn't necessarily one that I would have predicted 6 months ago because he wasn't in the race 6 months ago. He was a candidate testing the water 6 months ago, but now former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson is in the race, and former Virginia Senator George Allen is one of his co-chairmen of his national campaign. And we'll be in Michigan. Is it Michigan on Tuesday night for the Republican debate?
That's exactly right. They'll be working the spin room after the Republican presidential debate Tuesday night.
So George Allen, Liz Cheney, the daughter of the vice president, is another co-chair. And Spencer Abraham, a Michigan Republican senator, another co-chair of the Fred Thompson new campaign for. You know, he was a better, I thought he was a better non-candidate than he's been a candidate so far.
There was some video going around the internet where he was speaking at a coffee shop or something somewhere, and he finished this talk, and it was totally quiet, and he said, well, you could give me some applause now, or something like that, and there was like this half-hearted, okay, all right, fella. What does this mean for George Allen? What does a chair of a national campaign actually do? Do they set kind of strategy?
It's an honorary position. It means that he gets to appear on TV and talk for the candidate, and George will be getting much more national exposure as this honorary co-chair for Fred Thompson's campaign. So he'll be on Fox News all the time now.
So this then is his first step back into the fray after sort of bowing out post-Makaka.
Well, he's been in the fray campaigning around Virginia the last couple of months for House of Delegates and state Senate candidates. But this is his first national media exposure of any significance since he left the Senate.
George Allen, of course, still a great number of fans here in the Commonwealth. A lot of people you know, despite Makaka or what others may say about him, there's a lot of people out there that would vote for him tomorrow.
Well, he is ruled out running in 08, but he is not ruled out, pointedly not ruled out running in 09. And he told me that...
For governor.
He told me that he was interested in looking at that race, which means he's interested in looking at that race, at least.
So that would be interesting if that would be really fascinating if Davis got the nomination for the Republican Party for U.S. Senate in 08, and then Gilmore decided to run against Allen for the nomination, both former governors looking to go back to the governor's mansion.
Plus, there's an attorney general who is not backing down for George Allen or anyone.
Bob McDonnell.
So, you know, we could have...
Or Bill Bowling, the lieutenant governor.
Or Bill Bowling. I think we could have a real crowd of candidates on both sides for governor in 09, but that's a few years away.
And, of course, on the opposite side of the aisle, the Democratic bench is just the opposite. There's not really much of a deep bench there among Democrats.
Well, the two Democrats have been running for governor in 09 for a year or two now are Delegate Brian Moran and State Senator Cree Deeds, the senator for the Charlottesville area. And they have been joined recently by L.F. Payne, former congressman for this area, who has expressed interest in an 09 race for governor. and possibly by Rick Boucher, the congressman from the 9th District, the fighting 9th in Southwest Virginia. So there could be as many as four or more Democrats running for the nomination for governor, although I don't think it'll end up being that many. I think some will shake out beforehand. And it could be as many as four or more Republicans, big-name Republicans, running for the gubernatorial nomination.
It makes it all the more fascinating and fun to watch.
Well, it does, especially since, we in Virginia, you used to know, when I was a boy, you used to know who was going to be not only the governor, but the next governor. I mean, Harry Byrd had laid on the hands.
They were all lined up, weren't they?
They were lined up, it was like a holding pattern over an airport.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. And Bob, one of your recent columns, in fact, the Sunday column, was titled Political Notebook 59th Race Sees Flaky Statistics. What in the world? I read about this online. What in the world is going on in the 59th district? Remind us where that is and who's running.
That is Southern Albemarle. It's about six precincts or so in Southern Albemarle. All of Nelson, all of Buckingham, all of Cumberland, and about half of Fluvanna County. So, and points south toward Appomattox.
It's the biggest House district.
It's the largest in land territory in Virginia. House District 59 is Watkins M. Abbott Jr., whose father, Watkins M. Abbott Sr., was a long-term congressman from that area, Southside Virginia, from the Appomattox area. Watkins Jr. has been a delegate representing the 59th for 22 years now, and he is facing probably his toughest challenge from Nelson County Supervisor Connie Brennan, a Democrat. Watkins Abbott is now an independent. He had been a Democrat up until the last redistricting. When he saw what was going to happen to his district if he stayed a Democrat, and he saw what would happen to his district if he left the Democratic Party, he left the Democratic Party. We won't say exactly how that happened because the principals aren't talking about it.
But he's now technically an independent.
He's an independent.
Although he caucuses with the Republicans.
He doesn't caucus with them.
Oh, he doesn't?
No. The other independent, Lacey Putney, who does caucus with them, there are actually two other independents. One is in jeopardy of losing her seat in Richmond this year. But the longtime independent, Lacey Putney, who left the Democratic Party decades ago, it does caucus with the Republicans. Watkins is a caucus of one, independent. But he votes most often.
And he evidently has some folks working on his team that he agrees with them or doesn't, but somebody on his team really came out swinging against his opponent, Connie Brennan.
Oh, it's him. He has crafted all the questions, all the answers, and all the statements in his mailings, and his mailings reflect his polling. And he said his polling shows that if he talks about some tax increases in Nelson County when Connie Brennan was supervisor since 2001, her numbers go down. So he talked about a 400% increase in a tax. Well, a 400% increase was from $2. It was a business tax on telephones, and it was a tax that was going for E911 service in Nelson County, and it went up to $10. So from $2 to $10 was a 400% increase. He mailed that out in a very colorful postcard that shows a trading post as if it's a local business that would be affected by this 400% tax increase. Only the trading post had the name Trading Post Alaska. Stripped. The Alaska was taken off the trading post in this mailer.
Not exactly Nelson County.
Not exactly Nelson County.
It's what we call clip art.
Definitely clip art. Bob, and they clipped the clip art.
You wrote in your column, facts do not move voters as easily as emotions, and veterans of politics know how to manipulate emotions through creatively misleading use of images and facts.
It would be just as factual. In fact, it would be more informative to say that a certain business tax went up from $2 to $10 to pay unanimously. All the members of the Nelson County Board voted for this thing 2 years ago in April of 2005. The Republican member, the Democratic members, the independents on the board all voted for it because they were trying to keep taxes off the homeowner. So they decided that they could take this business tax on phones up from $2 to $10, and that the state would eventually start collecting the revenue for them. So, it was an easy tax for Nelson County to put on without burdening its homeowners. But none of that, of course, gets reported in this emotional 400% increase statistic that is blaring at you as you open your mailbox. But that's the nature of the mail that comes these days for political ads.
Yeah, we're all getting all that kind of stuff. Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You also wrote recently about the 5th District?
Virgil Goode's 5th Congressional District. He's been in 11 years, some as a Democrat, some as an independent, some as a Republican, kind of like Watkins, except Watkins hasn't formally become a Republican. They're good friends, by the way.
And who is it Tom Perriello?
Tom Perriello.
Perriello.
Now, his dad, Vito Perriello, is well-known in this area, and his mom, Linda Perriello, is well-known in this area. She founded a lacrosse and field hockey league for middle school kids in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. His dad is a longtime local pediatrician, works downtown and near Martha Jefferson. And Tom is a double Yale graduate. He went to Yale and then Yale Law School. And he's a very interesting cat for a politician because he is a progressive. He's a member of a group that has formed several organizations out of the progressive religious movement, the sort of the liberal Catholics. Have gotten involved in not pushing issues that traditionally the Christian right has pushed, but been pushing issues that nonetheless are talked about in the Bible quite often, such as dealing with poverty and social justice.
Yeah.
So
as Jesus would do kind of movement.
That's where he comes from, and he is an interesting challenger. He's raised $109,000 plus in his first 4 weeks as a candidate. He's on file now with the Federal Election Commission. And looks like he is going for the nomination to oppose Virgil Goode. The Democrats are going to hold a convention in May of next year to choose Virgil's opponent. And David Shreve of Albemarle County as well is his principal opponent for that nomination.
And this would be Virgil's seat is up for re-election in '08?
November of '08, the presidential year. So it'll be a big turnout election, and we'll see how it goes.
What's the latest on the abusive driver fees?
Well, they've been challenged in court again. They've been challenged around the state with varying results. Some of the challenges have won on the general district court level and then lost in the circuit court level. Some of the challenges have keep going up on appeal. Different rulings in different courts. A Charlottesville judge ruled late last week, Robert Downer, that the law was constitutional, that the state can charge these abusive driver fees. And the Rutherford Institute, headed by John Whitehead, and local attorney Ned Mickey are taking this case up on appeal in Charlottesville to Charlottesville Circuit Court. But it looks like the legislature, when it meets in January, will have a chance to either abolish the abusive driver fee law or radically alter it so that before the Virginia Supreme Court rules on it definitively, I think we're going to see the General Assembly either nixing it or tailoring it quite severely.
Right, right. John Hager, I saw him speak Saturday night at the Sorensen Institute's annual alumni reunion, and he said, when we get back into the General Assembly in January, we're going to fix it. We're going to tweak it.
A tweak implies a little fix.
Right.
I think they're talking about a bigger fix than that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it survives, it will survive on the big charges, not the little charges that are included in the...
What kind of changes you think we'll see as a result?
Oh, I think all the little misdemeanor fines will be knocked off if it survives. I think it's equally likely that it won't survive, that it will... they'll just have to scratch it and start over.
It has been attacked. Those abusive driver fees have really been... It's surprising that, the most liberal and most conservative among us have been really together on the same page, and that's... Doesn't happen very often, but they've been on the same page saying, we don't really like this.
Well, Virginians are upset about this. They're upset for a number of reasons. The size of the fees, primarily because they apply only to Virginia drivers, because the Constitution of Virginia says that fines in traffic cases have to go by Constitution to the Literary Fund, which funds schools and construction of schools. So they couldn't call it a fine and collect it for transportation revenue, which is why they were putting this in. So they called it a fee and put it on top of all the fines. So you can get, $750 to $3,000 fee on top of all these traffic fines if you do something like drive recklessly more than 20 miles over the speed limit.
Well, if it looks and smells and walks and talks like a tax on a speeding ticket, I think it is.
Well,
I think that's exactly what this is.
That's why people are upset about it. They're upset by the size of these abusive driver fees, and they're upset by the fact that they don't apply uniformly across the board.
And there's a certain level of disingenuous from some of the folks who support them to act like it's not a tax on a speeding ticket, to try to convince us, oh, no, it's nothing like that. Well, sure it is.
Well, if you look at the legislative record is pretty clear that this is a revenue-raising measure first and foremost. Oh, and by the way, it has some nice safety effects, they think, maybe.
Yeah. Well, John Hager said reckless driving is down 20%, and he'd like to think that the abusive driver fees are to thank for that.
Well, it could be that. It could be any number of things. It could be that police, knowing that these fees are coming in, are calling the close cases the driver's way and not writing them up as reckless, writing them up as, you know, 19 over.
Right, right. And we also have seen more police out taking pictures, as they say on the CB, you know, checking speeds of traffic. There's been more speed traps, in other words, around the state as a result of this. That'll certainly bring your driver's dislow down.
Well, I don't know if it's a result of this, but you do see lots of police out there monitoring speed traffic, yeah.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and I got 1 minute left, literally, but I know you sat in on a Charlottesville City Council candidate forum recently, and there's these candidates are sort of all across the board when it comes to the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Yeah, there are two of them who outright oppose it and three of them who outright favor it. And there's no party line. You know, two of the three Democrats favor extending, building the Meadow Creek Parkway, including the mayor. One Democrat does not, Holly Edwards. And she sort of, you know, for the first time came out and explained, no, I just don't want to lose that parkland. I'm not for this development. So, you know, that was an unusual, I think, split among Democrats who are running for city council. The two independents are also split. Barbara Haskins is running in favor of the parkway.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper and online at dailyprogress.com. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.